Hello and welcome to Perfectly Paranormal, episode 70. My name's Anna Schmidt, and I'm here every week to share with you true paranormal encounters and information about devils, demons, and dark energy beings that no one else talks about. Truly, they don't. And today we're exploring recreational drugs, paranormal entities, and what the connection is between the two. I've worked with people and homes where marijuana energy has been the main culprit for attracting the darker energy beings to the home and to the previous occupants who partook in that particular recreational habit, and how their actions created a dense negative vibration which affected the new home occupants in a very detrimental way. And none of these people could work out what the problem was. I have three real-life experiences for you today, all client-based experiences. Now, these three people struggled to quit recreational drug usage. And before we get into these eye-opening stories, I just want to quickly share with you what I've observed about recreational drugs and the paranormal energy beings. That connection, which is purely today from an energetic perspective through my energy work. Remember, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a mental health professional. Everything I share on this podcast is purely from my observations, experiences, client experiences from an energetic perspective. So substance abuse is what I call a low vibrational activity. The emotions and the trauma imprints that go with those activities and the negative or enhanced vulnerable mind state that people get into can attract dark and demonic level beings. These beings simply feed off that drug vibration that is in the person's energy field, that is all around them, that is in the home, and also the emotional imprints that people create while they are in that mind-altered state. Now, there's no ifs and buts about this. I can't prove it to you with quantifiable scientific data or proof, but I have seen the improvements in people's energy, their behaviours and their attitudes on life and everything really, once the entities have been removed and the residual drug energy imprints are removed as well. These people tell me, each in their own way, they've each experienced the improvements in different parts of their life, but overall, their outlook on life greatly improves. Some clients, though, still need medical and mental health management with medical professionals, but the cleansing of the energy side of their habit really does help to unlock and unblock their stuckness. They all tell me that they feel stuck, and they feel drawn back to the drugs all the time. As much as they try and pull themselves away, they just get pulled back into it. It's like stretching a rubber band. They just get flicked back into it all the time. And that's what happens to all three of the clients who are going to be sharing the following experiences. Now, getting stuck in patterns of lower vibrational thinking and behavior when using marijuana, especially long-term, like I just said, can keep you in a negative place mentally, emotionally, physically, energetically, and sometimes spiritually. And Jeff found out the hard way, and I've called this experience Keeping Jeff Down. Now, Jeff's mum contacted me to say that her son was in a really bad way, and she just didn't know what to do. He'd seen his doctor and his mental health professional for months and months, and he was on medication, which kind of helped him manage daily life. But he still felt lethargic and listless. He felt empty and he felt stuck. Every time he plucked up the courage and the motivation to get off the couch, get back to work, get back on with life, he felt that, he described it to me as an energetic pull. It pulled him back into a lower vibrational mind state. and he felt it mentally and emotionally. And he said to me that he felt like he was being controlled by unseen forces, and he found himself literally back on the couch again. Jeff's mum, she knew me through work. This was in the early days when I still worked in schools. And she didn't quite get what I do. But she was simply at the stage now where she was willing to give anything a go. We chatted over the phone about the energy clearing process that I do and its benefits. And she spoke to Jeff that night because Jeff is an adult and I don't do any energy clearing work for people over 18 unless they give their permission. People under 18, I still consider to be under their parents' care. So if the parent gives permission, if that person's higher self gives permission, then I will do the energy work. Now, Jeff, I suppose, like his mum, hadn't really had access to energy work before. Most people don't. Most people haven't. Or they've had really negative experiences and they kind of shy away from it as being full of charlatans. People just out to make money, basically, not giving the service that they are saying they're going to provide. Now, Jeff and his mum had both looked at my website, and the link is in the description box for those who might be a little bit curious. And he agreed that this could be the missing link, because they'd done the doctor's run, they'd been down the mental health path, and there was simply nothing else left to look at. And those that listen to this podcast all the time will remember me saying, you see your doctor, you see your mental health professional. If they can't quite fix the problem, there's got to be something missing. It has to be energetic. Now, this was the missing link for Jeff, and this was the way to unlock what had been holding him back. Now, a little of Jeff's backstory. He became involved in consuming marijuana as a recreational activity with his mates, you know, like a lot of people do. And the liking of how he felt in that mind-altered, relaxed state, it just grew. It grew and grew and grew. And it became a type of continual band-aid effect to mask the troubles that were in his life. But the side effect of attracting paranormal energy feeders literally turned Jeff's life upside down. Now, I know people out there, they're going to be thinking, is it just marijuana? And I'm going to say a no to that, but all of the clients that I've had with recreational drug issues that are attracting the paranormal beings, so far it's only been marijuana or the mushrooms. I can't really comment on other types of illicit type drugs, your heroin, your cocaine. Now, Jeff's energy clearing was really, really intense. And like I spent many, 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 many hours, I think it was around 10 to 12, maybe 14 hours from memory, to fully remove all the detrimental energy from his physical body, all of his chakras. These are the energy vortexes in our body, but also below our body, in our body, above our body. It's an energy system that connects us to universal energy. Same with the meridian lines. These are energy lines that run through our limbs, run through our body, and also Jeff's energy field. He was simply impacted by this recreational drug residue, as I call it, this residual energetic imprint, the vibration, the frequency, if you want to look at it that way. It was simply enmeshed all through Jeff. The vibration that Jeff was pumping out was so strong that these energy beings just simply came and hung around with him all the time, everywhere he went. It was like he had a bunch of groupies hanging around him all the time. Now, his sleep, his mum said to me, and he actually said to me himself, that he simply could not get a good night's sleep. He felt disturbed all the time. He would have disturbing dreams. He found that he just simply rolled around in bed all night. He could not get just a peaceful, full 6 or 8 hours sleep every night. So also, as a side note, I just want to mention Jeff was extremely ungrounded, like for many reasons, including the long-term substance abuse that I'm hearing you say. What does she mean by ungrounded? To live and function effectively in this earth reality, we need to be energetically connected to the earth's energy. We're living in this physical state. This is both for our physical body, but also our energy body, which is that soul essence, which is our spirit essence, whatever you want to call it. We live in this physical organic body that houses the energy body. And sudden or long-term traumatic life experiences or situations can sometimes disrupt our grounding, when the energy body can sometimes be separated from the physical body because of taking these recreational drugs. People get into a high, and literally it means high, like their energy body sort of leaves their physical body. It's still connected by the energy cord, like when people do astral traveling, but it's like they're in two places at once. They're not fully present. And what can happen sometimes is that when they're not grounded, it can cause mental and emotional issues. It can cause problems with their mind state. They're indecisive all the time. They make rash decisions. They experience vagueness and brain fog. Sometimes they feel out of sorts. Now, we've all been down that path. They can experience restlessness. They can't relax. They suffer extreme anxiety, panic attacks, or feeling overwhelmed. Some people just say they don't feel right and they can't put their finger on a rational cause. Through working with Jeff's higher self and going through the extensive energy clearing process, his altered mind state that had kept him out of his body, causing mind dysfunction and disrupting his ability to even complete really simple daily sort of routine tasks, slowly started to dissipate. He went through what I call, and it's quite typical, people go through an energetic detox. Now, it can sometimes take 1 day, 2 days, 7 days, sometimes a fortnight for some people. And it's really, really common after energy work. He said that he felt tired and his body just needed sleep. It just simply needed sleep. And I told him that that was totally normal. Because all the negative energy had been removed, his energy body had been recentered back into his physical body. It takes time for the body to recover. It simply needs to reset. So it took around 7 days for Jeff to actually start to feel normal again, to start to feel in control of his mind and his body and his mental and emotional state. And you're going to love this. You're going to love this. Now, Jeff and I didn't talk very much. I didn't know this young man. I'd known his mum kind of as an acquaintance at the place that I worked. But a week later, I received this most wonderful text from Jeff. And this is what he wrote. "Thank you so much for what you did for me. I've battled for years and been to hell and back again. And I can honestly say that I am now in the best mental state that I've been in for a very, very long time." And since that clearing, Jeff actually friended me on Facebook. Now, I don't comment on any of his posts, but I can see through his photos that Jeff is, he's back out there again. He's got the biggest smile on his face. Like, seriously, this work just, as much as it's tiring for me and it's exhausting, the outcome for the clients is just so positive. It was such a joy to see this young man in his 20s living his life again in a really happy mind state. Now, our second experience that's being shared today is from a local Tasmanian who was very open about his marijuana and demonic experience back in episode 47, which was called Satanic Contracts and Demonic Attachment. Now, I'm mentioning Hilly's experience in this episode today because recreational drugs played a big part in Healy's issues and again kept him in this lower vibrational state, feeding the needs of the entities that were around him. Now, Healy's story is slightly different and a little bit more complicated than Jeff's, and you'll see why when you listen to what Healy has to say. Now, I met Healy at the age of 19 through a mutual friend. And at the time, he simply had, not so simply, he had an unbreakable long-term issue with marijuana that was manipulated by the demonic presence within his energy field. And they, Yes. They had been around him for around about 7 years. And I've called this experience Hilly's Drug Struggle and Demonic Repression. Now, what you're going to hear now is part of episode 47. And if you want to hear Hilly's full, very eye-opening experience, tune in to episode 47 of this podcast. It is truly worth a listen, just so you can understand the life triggers and experiences that can sometimes drive people to do the things that they do. So let's hear what Hilly has to say.
Okay, well, this was really weird because I was not scared. I was not, oh, there's a ghost, oh, there's a spirit, oh, there's something bad. It was simply, something's here. Something's in the room. I feel it. The energy has changed. I would be down in my shed, the shed that I claimed as my own place of sanctuary. Me and my friend would be down there partaking in, you know.
You can talk about it. That's what we're here for today.
Partaking in marijuana. We would all of a sudden just be sitting on our phones talking and then go, whoa, did you feel that? And then, yeah. Just feels darker in here, doesn't it? It feels heavier. And I'd say, yeah. And then before you'd know, you'd hear a crunch, like it was someone was like, or in the wall coming up to the door, and you just know, you would just know. It's hard to explain. And then there'd be times where I would be in bed going to sleep. All of a sudden, someone is standing behind me watching me. So I have to turn around and look. I just have to, you know, I'm in the shower, washing my hair, close my eyes. There is someone watching me. As a human, you know when there is someone watching you. You can feel it. The tingle in your spine, your goosebumps, you know there's someone there. So I open my eyes and long behold, there's no one there. But there is someone there, you know? And I always knew there was. It just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that occurred to you about grade 5, grade 6 is when you put out that intention to the darker realm. How old were you?
I would have been about 12.
How old are you now?
I'm 19.
Okay, so you put out the intention, and I'm not pointing the finger at you, I'm sort of outlining this for the people that are listening.
Yep.
Hilly the poet put out an intention 7 years ago to connect with the dark realm. They heard and they came. And you feeling this being moving around, it's attached to you in some way, it's actually corded into your energy field or into your chakras because they're the energy centers within our body. So that intention attracted these beings. Now, you might see it as one, but they're usually more than one, like I explained earlier. And it simply has followed you. It's followed you for 7 years. Everywhere you go, in your sleep, in your dreams, eating, going to the movies, down to the shed with your mates. And do you feel that being or beings affected your energy, the way that you thought, your decision making?
Yeah, 100%, 110%. There would be times where I'd think to myself, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to have some tea, have a shower, brush my teeth, then get ready for bed. Next thing I know, I'm down the shed using drugs. That's not what I was going to do. I was going to do something positive. I was going to do something healthy. It's even like tiny little things. I'm going to go on my phone and put on a good song, a happy song, a song that would make me want to get up and have a bit of a dance. Next thing I know, I'm listening to a song that makes me want to, this is going to be a little bit on the darker side, what I'm about to say. So pre-warning, even things with self-harm. I love my temple. My body is my temple and I do treasure my body. I take a lot of pride in my body and being healthy these days. And I think I always wanted to, but there was a stage where I was self-harming and quite aggressively. I think half of the decision-making in that was caused from not just mental health disorder, you know, which I do have. I'm not debunking the science. I'm just saying, I think these entities that were using me and my energy were simply amplifying the effects of the mental health disorders or whatever you want to call them, making them unbearable. I couldn't control anger. I couldn't control sadness. And I couldn't even control happiness. It was weird. It was weird.
They do that because they're keeping you. This is my perspective from the many, many years of work I've done with these beings. They're doing that to keep you in a state of control. They don't like it when you're happy. When you're happy, no. You're not creating the food that they want. They want to keep people in a negative state so that you're then creating the rage, hostility, sadness, despair, sorrow. Whatever your trigger emotions are, that is what they'll keep you creating, because then you're feeding them. It's just like a vicious cycle. I've had a lot of people explain to me that they feel, there's a lot of my clients have said to me, look, I feel like I just need to move forward with life. I've got a job interview coming up. I feel like I want to get out and exercise, but something just keeps pulling me back. I just feel like I can't break through the barrier. Do you feel that there was a connection between your long-term substance abuse and these demonic level beings? Did your substance abuse start when you made that contract?
Yes. Yep. The year I made that pact with the devil, that contract, is the exact same year he got introduced to marijuana and being used in a bong. And the bong got me, and it kept me there for ages, and I never ever could figure out how to get off it, how to stop it, or how to even remotely think about stopping. I didn't want to stop, and no one could tell me to stop because it wasn't going to happen. It was never going to happen. You have no idea. It was literally my life. It wasn't just a drug I did. It was my life. And then all of a sudden, one day, I thought, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I thought, I'm not doing this anymore. I want to move on, and I'm not going to be some lazy stoner sitting down a shed just smoking weed, like losing my money. You know, like I had no money. So I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I just couldn't quit. I couldn't quit. It was like that guy you told me, you did an energy clearing. I know you know who I'm talking about. You know, you told me about him, and I thought, God, that's relatable, because I want to get off this. I have the tools to get off this, and I can't.
Yep.
And it was getting worse. I was starting to use other drugs such as MDMA, pharmacy grade cough syrup, codeine, ketamine, just horrible drugs that 18, 19 year olds shouldn't be even thinking about using. And that was simply because I felt like I couldn't cope with the reality I was living. I needed to escape reality.
Did you feel that that was you creating those thoughts, or was it something else telling you that your reality wasn't, how can I put
worth it?
Telling you that you couldn't cope, so that you needed the drugs as a coping mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah. It was 100% clouding my judgment and my perception on my family, the world around me, my friends, my choices, my hobbies, stripped me bare of my personality in a way. I remember I stopped making the music I wanted to make. I stopped skating. I stopped doing my art. I stopped playing games, online games with my friends. I stopped communicating to my friends. I started snapping at my friends. I stopped accepting help. That's a big one. People would come to help me. Even when we first started talking, I remember I was getting thoughts in the back of my head of, don't go through with this. Get hurt to f-. But that's not what I wanted. That's obviously what they were telling me, and became more aware when we did start talking and you started giving me an idea.
Yep.
I became more aware of what it was telling me, when it was telling me it, and why.
And this is why we're talking about this today, is because I always bang on about how dark, and especially the demonic level beings, can affect people's thinking, especially vulnerable people who've had a lot of trauma in their lives. They're just worn down. And as you were talking just then, I was feeling that they were wearing you down in such a way that one day you may have even taken your life if you'd got to that totally vulnerable stage.
Right before we met, I made a very regrettable choice of trying to put myself into a coma. And when I say that, sounds stupid, but I was physically hitting myself. And I remember I kept saying, like in my head, stop, like you need to stop, stop doing this to yourself, stop it. But I couldn't. I was hysterical. I was screaming. I was frantic. I was uncontrolled. There's been many other times as well where I've like, I don't know. I don't really want to like describe it in a graphic way, but I'll just say where, yeah, I was close to maybe making a choice to where I would not have come back from. Yeah.
And you know what? Since we've been talking, Like, I haven't seen Hilly the poet for many, many years. I knew him when he was very young. I worked with him in the education system. And when he came back into my life, it was like that person that put us together again. She's your angel. Like, she has sent you to me because she knew. She can see the goodness in you. And I know it's there. You're 19, right? And you are so wise. You have so much wisdom to offer. You have survived taking all those drugs that I can't even repeat the names of. Someone was looking after you, like your higher vibrational support network, your angels, guardian angel, whatever you want to call it. They were looking after you because you have a message. You have something to share through your music. And as you get older and you get into the workforce and you choose a career where you can actually share what you have been through and help other people not to make those decisions as easily and help them to look for alternatives. I mean, I look at you and I just want to reach out and just give you a great big hug because I feel you are so, you're just so wise. Wise is the word that keeps coming to me. People your age don't often speak the way that you do about wanting life change. A lot of people get to 40 and all of a sudden it slaps them in the face and they go, oh my God, I don't like my life. You're doing that at half that age. I'm really, really proud of you for coming on today, talking about your experiences, being willing to share and be vulnerable so that other people can see some of the things that you've gone through and how you're still here. You know, you're still here because you want something better. Now, our third experience being shared today is a story of a young couple buying their forever home and definitely getting more than what they bargained for. This property and house had many paranormal beings present, and they were there for a multiple of reasons, as they usually are. But this house had the worst build-up of recreational substance residual energy that I have ever seen. And yes, again, marijuana was the culprit. Now, Louis is going to share his story today. He very kindly has come onto the podcast to share his and his partner's experience, in his own words, about the house that they moved into that was slowly turning their lives upside down. And I've called Louis's experience the marijuana house. So when did you first notice the energetic issue within the house?
Probably after a few months of moving in. My wife and I just started getting more and more lethargic and our energy levels was just starting to decrease and we weren't really sure why.
So with this issue that you had, you knew there was something going on. You didn't know what was causing it. What was your next step to get some help? How did you find someone to come and help you with clearing the home?
Well, my wife, she has seen a medium once before where we live in northern Tasmania, and she said that she deals with spirits in houses, so we got her in. And straight away she started using sage and was going all around the house, sage the whole house, and then told us how dangerous this spirit was and started freaking us out a little bit. We were a bit more concerned than we were before. And after she left, probably a day at the most, the house started feeling a little bit better, but then bang, straight away, we started feeling everything over again.
Yeah. So your partner had a specific issue when it came to being in this house. We don't need to mention her name, but can you share with us what was actually triggered within her in relation to being in this particular building?
Well, she started getting nightmares, which apparently in the past she didn't get a lot of. And one morning she woke up and looked all up one side of her leg was bruises everywhere. And that started becoming a little bit concerning because she's never really had random bruises come out of nowhere. Yeah, we were definitely feeling something at this point every night in the house. We could just feel a different energy. It wasn't by any means nice. It was dense. It wasn't pleasant, just what we were feeling. It wasn't nice at all.
And when you contacted me, we had that initial phone conversation and I went through my process and I also mentioned about recreational drug residue as an energetic imprint. And you shared with me that your partner had a connection to using marijuana. For whatever reason that is, we're not going to talk about that today. But did she find that that was enhanced when she was in this house?
Definitely. Definitely. She ended up feeling a lot more than I did because I hadn't really dove much into marijuana, but that was her choice. Yeah, she ended up getting affected in multiple ways a lot more than I did.
So she'd used a little bit of marijuana in the past. I mean, we are talking about recreational drugs today. So it's all about people understanding how energy in the home, specifically low vibrational activities such as substance abuse, can actually affect the people in the home. Now, I always talk about it with people. It's one of the aspects that I look at when I do a house clearing. It was interesting for your partner that when I went through and I did all the clearing of the land and I went through the house, is that I found that there had been a young male who had lived in the house before you. I think it was somewhere around 50 years ago. It could have been 50, 60 years ago. And he had a very strong connection to using marijuana. I think it was outside on the land, in the shed, but also in the house. And when people partake in that sort of activity and the imprint of that energy sticks to their clothing, it sticks to their energy field, and they bring that energy into the home. And you'll get someone that'll come into the house where they might find that recreational drugs, specifically marijuana, because it's a natural plant, like it's the same as mushrooms. I find this is the same issue with mushrooms, is that the vibration sticks to the person. It gets deposited all through the house, wherever that particular person went. So in your home, did your partner find that there were specific areas within the house that she felt more of a desire to have marijuana? And she didn't quite know why. She didn't know whether it was her that wanted it. She just had sort of an increased interest in using marijuana.
She definitely had one spot in, not in the house, but on the deck that she'd always go and smoke. It was rarely anywhere else on the property.
So did she have those really strong cravings before you moved into this particular house?
Not as much, because the interesting thing is she didn't actually smoke it much ever before moving into the house. So the house might have had something to do with her getting used to it very quick, and she did get hooked on it very fast.
What I find is some people have particular triggers. Some people, it'll be food, it might be alcohol, it could be cigarettes sometimes, it can be hoarding, it can be gambling, anything that's done in the home by previous tenants or previous owners of the house, and sometimes even the land before people actually build a house on that property. Then you get someone new come into their house and their trigger is that particular vibration that is in the home. And then they find that they're elevating the usage of that particular activity, whatever it is that triggers them. They just don't know what is causing it. That is really interesting. So since we did the house clearing and I went all through the land, all through the property, the sheds, through the garage, through every room of the home, has your partner found that the land and the energy clearing of the house has actually lessened her desire to partake in the marijuana?
Yeah, dramatically, dramatically. After our first phone call and you telling me how energy beings can be attracted more so to you, that was the first warning sign for my wife, and it scared her a little bit, but enough to stop it within a couple of days, because she didn't want to risk having anything attached to her.
People who listen to the podcast all the time will know that I say that these energy beings are only attracted to us because they're drawn to a particular vibration that we're carrying. And we are human. We all have triggers. We all have life experiences that create particular situations. But if she knows that marijuana is a trigger for her, then she just avoids it. And she's cutting out that possible connection to those energy beings coming to her. They're just going to bypass your house and go to the next person who's got that particular vibration. So what does your house feel like now? So it's about 2 months since I did your full house clearing. Can you describe for the listeners some of the improvements that you feel you've noticed in the house since the clearing?
The house is way lighter. The energy just feels light and airy. We haven't had any dense energy since, and it just feels homey. It's lovely. It's really, really nice.
That's good. It makes my heart sing to be able to help people in this way, because the house had such a dense build-up. Like, there were build-ups of this marijuana energy all through the house. And there were other energetic imprints, but I think that was the one that really stood out. That is the one that attracted a particular type of energy being that was affecting your partner. It was fascinating. Thank you for letting me work on your home.
No worries at all. Thank you very much for doing clearing for us. You're our saviour, really, going through two other people beforehand who did nothing but scare us and heighten activity. You actually were able to clear everything for us, so we can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Louis. It was an absolute pleasure. And thank you for coming on to Perfectly Paranormal today to share your experience.
Thank you very much, Anna. Really appreciate it.
And if you like this episode and you want to learn more about the paranormal, I'm always sharing new information that nobody else does. Please hit the subscribe button. Send me a comment. Send me one of your stories. So in episode 71, we are speaking with Brett Reeder. Now, Brett is a mate of mine and a keen paranormal enthusiast who is here to share some of his fascinating personal paranormal experiences. Some of the things that shocked him, some of the things that made him laugh, and also one wonderful experience that melted his heart during a ghostly encounter in a very old abandoned building here in Tasmania. He told me that it was an experience he will never forget. So thank you for joining me today. And don't forget, if you want to share a paranormal experience just with myself, or you would like me to share one of your experiences through my podcast, you can do a voice recording, or you can write out your experience and I will read it exactly as you have written. You can email me at spiritualbeing44@gmail.com. And for information on paranormal house clearing, you can visit my website, Spiritual Being. You will find the address in the description box. And I look forward to sharing this spooky space again with you next week. And remember, life is perfectly paranormal.